And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. I know how much you folks enjoy listening to that theme, but we have such a packed program that we have to get to it right away.
Half the time we allow too much of the theme to be played, and then we never finish what we start out to do.
Do you remember the trouble we had just trying to get the famous ceremony of locking the studio door back a week or so ago?
Three or four days before we get to that. So we want to get everything taken care of today. And Mary, you've been out shopping?
Yes, I've got everything now. I was picking out some drapes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to drip candle wax over some old wine jugs or lamps on the table.
Well, you could start that right now. It takes
that
a long
different
while.
Different colored wax. I think I saw that one place one time, and I liked it very much.
It's rustic appeal.
Yes, we're going to have a roaring fire in the hearth and all.
Hey, Mary.
Yes,
I brought the boys in today because we've been working on a new vamp. One that features a vocal by the Smoky Valley Boys. I'd like to have you give it a listen.
I guess there isn't much I can do about it. They're all set up. How are you, Pie Plant?
Fine.
All right, well, let's hear it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's not the type of music I want.
Give it a drink.
Indeed. Well, you'll have to learn a song. I don't think just vamps.
Well, we're going to get the songs as soon as we can, but we got to get the intros down.
Well, mark my words, you'll get no job until you have an entire song. You can't audition with vamps.
I think you've got more to worry about than hiring the entertainment right at this point.
And we have something to worry about, too. Arthur Schrank is calling in, and we have no idea what kind of a reception he'll be getting.
Where is he today?
He's out in Minneapolis, up visiting our good friends at WCCO. He's in the office of Larry Haig, station manager there. And let's call in Wally right now and see. Wally Ballou,
I'm right here.
I wanted to call in Arthur Schrank, who is standing by.
You like sugar donuts?
Well, once in a while, Wally, yes. Yeah. Fine. What does that have to do with anything, though? Well, all right, forget it. Arthur Schrank is at WCCO in Minneapolis. Come in, please, Arthur.
And I want to say
this is Arthur Schrank in the office of station manager Larry Haig here at WCCO. And
yeah, I'd really prefer you call me Mr. Haig.
Mr. Haig. Yes, sir. Mr. Haig.
First of all, let me say something.
Yes.
You've come out here to Minneapolis. You've tried to pull off all manner of promotion stunts and schemes to take the place of the fact you don't have a whale.
Righto, Larry, baby.
And I want you to know that we don't want any part of an old automobile, of a $100 bill, of two $20 bills that you've tried to foister off on some of these other stations.
This is Arthur Schrank.
Tuna fishes or sharks, we don't want. We either want the whale, or you can get out of town.
Well, those are mighty strong words, Mr. Haig. Bob and Ray have sent me here at great expense to... I shipped an automobile out here, you know.
I know you did. I just said we don't want to hear the automobile. Don't want to see the shark, the tuna fish.
You don't want anything then, right?
Aren't you flashing $5 bills around?
All right.
Making off like that's a big promotion stunt.
Real squares, Bill, Bob and Ray. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Mr. Haig, and I hope that when we find the whale, we'll return to Minneapolis.
Well, if you do find the whale, we'll welcome him with open arms, I can tell you that.
Thank you very much.
Till you do.
And now, from WCCO, it's back to you, Bob and Ray.
Okay, Arthur Schrank, and sorry you had that little trouble out there, but that's the way it goes. I think we've got to find that whale somehow. I hope Cato's working on it.
Stand by, because here's something else, and this is how that goes.
Bonjour, I am Jacques Leroy, expert on the stereophonic phonograph. I will now clear up this whole subject. S'il vous plaît, listen to ordinary stereo. A girl crossing the street. Eh bien. Now on Columbia Stereo 1. Oh, that was a pretty girl crossing the street. Quelle différence! The fantastic Columbia Stereo 1 phonograph gives you all the realism and excitement of a live performance. What in a moment, mademoiselle. Oh, la la. Oh, pardon. You see, only Columbia has exclusive stereo projection. Not just a few separated speakers, I know, but multiple speakers that send interlocking circles of sound through every inch of the room. See the Columbia phonograph man toot sweet. Columbia Stereo 1 portable start at $39.95, consoles from $129.95. Attendez, ma chérie! Wait for me!
Hi, and welcome to Biff Burns Sports Room again. For a comparison of today's major leaguers as against the baseball players of years ago, we have as our guest James Needles Dunbar, ex-major league star, who hit an average of .568 back in 1908. Welcome to our microphone, Needles.
You could take every major league player around today and dump them in a Chesapeake Bay.
Well, how about the managers and the coaches, Needles?
Same goes for them, too.
Now, why do you hold the modern ball player in such low esteem? I know you've been quoted many times.
Well, now, you think back in 1908 when I hit .568. Now, that was the third lowest average in the league. Duffy led the league that year with an average of .873. Now, these days, if a player hits .300, he gets invited to banquets.
Well, perhaps the pitching has improved since your time, Needles.
We had 23 70-game winners in 1908.
Well, I guess there must have been a lot of 40 and 50-game winners around at the time, too.
Rookies, guys with sore arms, over-the-hill pitches. We had them, and a lot of other clubs were stuck with those lemons, too, yeah.
Okay, well, Needles, how do you account for such high batting averages with all that superb pitching that you had?
Sir, it's a big bay. That's where they should be dumped, every one of them.
Well, it could be, Needles, that the rules were slightly different in those days.
Chesapeake Bay is much too good for them. I think I'd rather see them all in Sheepshead Bay.
Needles, I have the official 1908 rule book in front of me, and the first rule I see is this. Infielders must turn their backs on any balls that are hit in their direction. Failure to do so means automatic ejection from the game. Now, that rule must have helped the batter, Needles.
I think it would be better if we took them out of the bay and put them in some kind of a labor camp. They're pampered, that's what. Who ever heard of a pitcher resting 4 days? Back in my time, it's a disgrace,
well,
really.
That brings me to rule number 395, section 6. It says the distance from home plate to the pitcher's mound is 12 feet, with the mound rise no more than 60 inches.
It's a shame they shut down Devil's Island.
The pitcher shall deliver the ball in such a manner that the speed shall not exceed 4 miles an hour.
They're at Devil's Island. They'd probably try to escape. But as you know, no one gets through that swamp.
And
remember that.
Needles, a quick check of the official 1908 rulebook shows there are other advantages that the modern player doesn't have. For example, I see a foul tip counted as a home run and a swinging strike counted as a triple.
Sore arm crybabies is what they are. We never complained back in the old days. Tough is what we were.
And it says that the umpire often gave a batsman permission to circle the bases without even coming to bat.
Tough. Now, that's the key word. We had a pitcher, Dutch Weffer, who drowned at the beach on his day off. Next afternoon, he pitched a shutout.
Well, thank you, James Needles Dunbar, for being with us here at Biff Burns Sports Room. And you can be sure your suggestion about starting a third major league on Devil's Island will go unheeded. Where is the movie wit who said he'd like to demonstrate how he practices his hobby
in the
local theaters? I wonder if you'd come down front here and...
Okay, blue eyes.
Onto our stage. Well, you're already. You're making funnies there.
Well, I have a lot of quips right on the tip of my tongue.
You are Mr.
Yes.
Mr. what, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Arthur E. Flam.
And if I can call you Arthur?
Well, most of my friends do.
You listed on the card that you are a movie wit. Now, does that mean you write for motion pictures, comedy pictures, or you find humorous things in movies?
No, what I do is when I go to movies, I have so many funny things to say about what's going on the screen that I entertain all the people sitting in my immediate vicinity.
These things just come natural to you? I mean,
yeah, it's...
You practice them? Or...
Kind of a show-off part of me, I like, I guess it is. And I have a lot of... I'm quick-witted, you know?
Well, I can understand, but don't the people sitting in your near proximity kind of... take a little...
Oh, well, once in a while you might run into some crack or tell me to dry up, but by and large...
I think it would take their minds off the picture to have you continually making statements about the picture.
Well, I'm not there worrying about what they think. I'm there to really make them laugh and to have fun, really.
Well, now, knowing that you were going to be here today, your card was processed early this morning, we've gone to the trouble of setting up a projector and acquiring a portion of a motion picture to see just how you... do the window operation, how you work.
Bob, we might point out that this cost us about $40 to rent the projector and about $30 for the little bit of film that we're going to show.
That's
so
right.
It's an expensive thing.
Right.
Well, it's going to be worth it, really.
It is going to be worth it.
I have.
All right, now can you sit here and do
look,
it?
Look, I'll go out in the audience and sit around three or four people out there and you'll get the typical reaction. Wait, look at that.
Okay. Glenn is going out and seating himself.
All right, gentlemen, let him sit down.
Wallace, our small assistant, is helping him into his seat.
Thanks very much.
Okay, you can let the film go.
All right, projectionist, will you start the movie, please?
It is hard to read now.
And it's getting dark.
Light down, will you, buddy?
His letter. Did you not promise me that someday... that someday you would let me read it?
Is that... you wish?
I do wish it.
You had a nose full of nickels, you'd be a millionaire.
Put your pipe down, fella.
May I open it?
Open it and read.
When's the newsreel come on?
Will you keep quiet?
Farewell, Roxanne. Because today I die.
Aloud.
Boy, you bet.
I know that it will be today, my own dearly beloved.
You might die in my hands if I had a gun.
So that it was love I have not told.
Will you be quiet?
Lie down. Dry
without
up.
Telling you. No more shall my eyes drink the sight of you like wine. Never more with the look that is a kiss. Follow the sweet grace of you.
Oh, what's the matter? What?
This letter.
I remember now the way you had it, pushing back a lock of hair.
You got a wrong kind of a movie.
Yeah, but hold it. Turn the movie on, please. Turn the lights on. Mr. Bland, you want to come back up here just a second?
Okay.
I can tell you...
I thought you'd have some kind of a light movie.
Well, in other words, you need a comedy to make
it
funny.
Well, gee, nothing like that. I mean... I tried to lighten it up when he said, is the day I die, but I mean it.
But you can't lighten it up. It's a serious thing. I think maybe we have thrown a curve at you by saying...
Boy, you fellas, you know, I can bet that you'd have done something like that.
Uh-huh.
What time did you process my card?
Early this morning.
I should have known it.
I'm afraid that just hasn't worked out.
Look, can I come back some other time when you got a funny movie? You know, I can be even funnier.
Well... sometime, maybe, if we have the extra time.
The long and back has been wonderful.
Let him into the seat there.
Oh, all the way?
Yes, Cato.
Oh, help. Hot news all north. Smerry Dave.
What? What?
I think I find Smerry Dave in Albany, New York.
Well, he's been in Albany all this time.
He disappeared. That's right.
Well, gee, that's exciting news.
Conclusive evidence.
Well, look, right after the program, we get into your limousine and drive right up to Albany, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then tomorrow, friends, we'll broadcast... Oh, I hope that's good
news. I hope you really found him. That's great.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you're happy.
Cato, you're going to get your fee and then some.
Oh, come on out to a black limousine, now, we speed up to Albany.
Okay, well, then we better start to sign off. Gee, I'm awful sorry, Mr. What was it, Flam or Brand, whatever it was?
Bram.
We really didn't mean to throw a curve at you at all.
Still crying.
I know. He's inconsolable out there. Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
Art Linkletter's House Party, another weekday jamboree on the CBS Radio Network.